This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, free agency has just begun. The Seattle draft has happened. The regular draft has happened. And we started our own farm because we got the GOAT for another 5 years. So joining me as always, he also signed a contract for 5 years. And he's stuck on What the Puck. So sorry, guys. This is the way it's going to be. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Not much. I think a lot's going on. What are you talking about?
Talking professionally or in hockey world?
Well, hockey world is a little crazy right now. We were about to record, and we were delaying things a little bit, and boom, news breaks, and it seems as if Vitek Vanacek, Seattle's favorite son, is coming back to D.C.
Why is he Seattle's favorite son?
I don't know. Seattle's favorite son. It sounded
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, no, we're sitting here. We're doing our prep as we usually do. We're chatting. My son interrupts, as he's prone to do. And then Elliot Friedman texts that Vitaly Vanacek is coming back to the – I just thought it was funny that his autocorrect changed Vitek to Vitaly. And then it's like the old DePauly bit. And then he had to, of course, be like, oh, for God's sakes, autocorrect, Vitek. So, yeah, it sounds like it's happening. It's now been, I've seen by Tarik El-Bashir, Vitek Vanacek is returning to the Caps. Looks like they're sending the 2023 second-round pick the Caps got from the Jets for Brendan Dillon, which we can talk about in a minute.
So I was definitely a little bit bummed that Vitek went to Seattle, that was their pick, because we were saying, like, Brendan Dillon, you know, somebody like that, you know, somebody on defense would be the best thing for the Capitals. But it turned out to be Vitek, and we were all very bummed, and it sucked. But a week later, here we are, and he's back with the team. So obviously the Capitals weren't happy to lose him, and they did what they had to do to get him back. I mean, I think we were thinking Brendan Dillon was going to leave the team. They were thinking that as well. So when that didn't happen, they were like, hey, let's fix this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're sitting here watching the free agency as it's happening, and I can't remember the last time that going through free agency, the Caps didn't sign anybody. And so we're sitting here going, like, can you sign someone? Can you sign anyone? Like, let's make a thing happen. I don't care if it's a bottom six player. Like, do something. And then it looks like Caps made their, not splash per se, but they made their move, bringing back their goalie, which is kind of weird. We were talking before, and you sent me the meme of the scene from Ransom.
Dated reference, but
a little bit, good movie.
Are we allowed to like that movie still? Like, is Mel Gibson, are we allowed to like Mel Gibson?
He's still a putz, but it's still a good film. He's worse than a putz, but that's fine. The Caps needed a goalie. You know, Holtby went to Dallas.
Yeah, there was some rumblings that there were a couple teams interested in Holtby, and the Caps were one of them, but turned out, no, he's going to Dallas, and he's going to be a Texan. So that's – I don't know how that's going to work out either, but only time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, that it was an interesting choice, but it, I think the Caps made the right move. They brought back the goalie they felt was a good part of the team, a good part of the franchise. It, you know, they lose a second round pick that you got. It's not ideal, but you know, when you have the era of the expansion draft, it's just kind of be a reality. And as you know, they needed a goalie, and I think they brought back a good one. He's affordable in terms of a cap hit. His cap is only like, cap friendly already updated. So his cap, that didn't take long. Cap hit of just under $717,000. So you know, I'll take it. I think it's a good move for the Caps. I think it's a smart move. It's just unfortunate they had to lose a second round pick. But essentially, it's almost like they just traded Seattle a second round pick to not take him. Although I kind of wish they had done that and then been like, but you have to take Nick Jensen.
Yeah, it's odd. Like, coming into the show, there was rumblings about VTech coming back, but like, I was going to ask you questions like, did the Caps protect the right goalie? Was this the right move to let VTech go? I mean, VTech showed off this past season. I mean, when Sammy was down for COVID multiple times and then was also injured, like, VTech wasn't even supposed to be on this team. It was supposed to be Lundqvist and Sammy. For VTech to show up and what did he play? Wasn't it like 13-14 games straight? At the beginning of the season, like, he played, incredible. So obviously somebody was going to, like, Seattle was going to pick him up. But obviously the goalie situation in D.C., there's a huge question mark on what's going to happen. Lundqvist is still a question mark. And they weren't comfortable going for anybody that was out there on free agency. So they decided to make this trade and bring VTech back. It seems like they kind of like that VTech-Sammy rivalry right now of who's going to get the net tonight. And, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball or anything, but going forward, I would see VTech as my number one goaltender.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be a battle in preseason to see who's the number one guy, and then they just go with the hot hand to an extent in terms of who's playing.
Just judging from what I saw last year, I'd go with VTech. I mean, I feel like he earned it. I also thought he earned his spot in the playoffs, but then he got hurt immediately.
I mean, that didn't help matters. Yeah. It certainly is not a benefit. But it is, you know, things happen and good teams can overcome injuries. And that wasn't the only problem for this team in the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of other things to look at. And I don't think this team is done by any means. They might be done today. But, I think that they have a solid thing. I think they have a solid goaltending right now at the NHL level. You know, we don't really know what we have with Samsonov, but it sounds like there's a bright future for him. We kind of know what we have in Vanecek, and whether he's a number one or a number two is still debatable.
I mean, he's been in the system for like 5 years. We've seen him stateside
Vanecek,
5 years.
He's actually 39. It's interesting. Actually, Japers Rink is just tweeting about it in terms of, to recap, Seattle drafts Vanecek instead of Dylan, presumably to save cap space. Caps trade Dylan for two picks. Seattle signs Grubauer, effectively pushing Vanecek out. Caps trade one of those two picks for Dylan. Net result, Caps add a second-round pick, keep Vanecek, lose Dylan.
So everything kind of worked out.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I would have liked to have both those second-round picks, but whatever. It is what it is. It's interesting. I was surprised that Grubauer went to
I like
Seattle.
the meme that they just posted of the guy checking out the girl with his girlfriend right next to him.
Oh, yeah, they had that earlier today, too.
I like that.
So it's interesting what's going on. And I think the goaltending department is set now. I think you look at it and you go, okay, they probably want a third person. I don't know if teams have to carry a third goalie like they did last year. Probably not a bad idea, but you know, I think the goalies are the least of their issues right now.
I mean, I think now that VTech is back, yes, absolutely. But literally 15 minutes ago, I would say that the goalie position was a big question mark.
Oh,
now,
yeah, giant question mark, because there's only one guy.
Yeah, now not so much, now that we got these two guys back. But we'll see what happens. I like VTech a lot. I was very upset that he was the guy that Seattle picked up. But I guess all things worked out in the end. So let's move on. Let's talk a little bit more about what's going on. The GOAT, Alexander Ovechkin, he signed, it says, forever a Capital. He signed a five-year deal worth, what was it, $4.75 million? $47.5 million. Got my numbers mixed
up there.
I was like,
wait, what?
That's, we got him for a really good deal. No, it's $47.5 million for 5 years. Big deal right there. One of the best ever. Going to spend his entire career in the NHL, at least, with the Washington Capitals. Will he be playing in the KHL after that? Absolutely, if the KHL is still around. But, hey, Alex Ovechkin, forever a Capital. Everybody, I know you've been waiting. You've been waiting to get those number 8 jerseys. Nobody's got them yet, but hey, now's the time to buy it.
Who?
Ovechkin?
Excuse me. It's less than we thought it was going to be. You know, there are talks, concerns about a cap it being 10, 10.5, $11 million. You know, it's a cap it of 9.5. There's a little bit of a concern that between him and Backstrom, that's 23% of their cap space right now. But it is what it is. You know, that's why you got to surround yourself with younger players or cheaper players so that you can have these guys. And then if you're looking at the length of his deal, essentially it comes down to I think someone tweeted out or told me he needs to score essentially 33 goals, 33 and change a season out of the remainder of this contract so that he is able to pass or catch Gretzky.
Doable.
Which, that would be pretty cool if he can do. I mean, I think it's definitely doable, provided the Capitals are still playing well. The interesting part I found is that he has one more year on his deal than Backstrom does.
I noticed that, yeah. I thought he always said he wanted a 4-year deal.
Well, I just figured they were going to, you know, ride off into the sunset together, but I guess not at this point.
Is there a deal like that last year he can be traded or anything like that? Or is there anything like that?
He definitely has a no movement clause. Did you see the GIF that the Caps just tweeted?
No, I did not.
Check that out. It's pretty funny. I think he has a no movement clause or he can put 10 teams on a trade list. I don't anticipate the Caps ever trading him. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was solid.
I don't anticipate the Caps ever trading him. Because he's their franchise player. You know, if he ends up being just horrible, I think it's possible. But I don't see it right now as... I mean, I think he's here for the remainder of his career. I think he's going to retire a Capital.
Now, let me be cynical here for a second. Let me be... Since we are on a podcast, let's not agree on everything. Just for argument's sake... 5 more years of Alexander Ovechkin. We are all very happy about that. However, he is not as young as he was yesterday. You know, we saw in this past season, he missed a good chunk of that final regular season, and it affected the team big time. You know, Russian machine never breaks, but it does get injured now. So he's shown that, yeah, he is kind of human. Is this a good contract for a player of his age to get? Is it a good idea for the team to take, like you said, that much money into two players that are on the wrong side of 30, like you and I are? And we are.
Calm down.
Is it smart for the Capitals to do that, to spend that much money on a player who is of that age, who is going to be finishing out the career? Will the production still be there year after year as he gets older?
I mean, if he's gonna catch Gretzky, he's gonna have to be.
I mean, that's good motivation.
And the thing is, he's still scoring. Like he's not really slowing down. Yeah, injuries are a little bit more of a concern, but that happens as your body gets older. But he's still scoring goals. He's still a leader on this team, and I think he's still worth the money that he's being paid. Is he gonna be worth it at 40? That's debatable. But obviously we're gonna have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, maybe if he didn't get injured this past year, we would have seen that $10 million, you know, a season instead of the 9-point whatever. Maybe we would have seen a little bit higher. But maybe the Capitals were able to haggle a little bit and be like, look, hey, we lost you for a good chunk of this past season. And that's, you know, I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody. And I don't think Ovi was trying to stay off the ice. You know, there was that game against the Islanders where he took one shift and was like, nope, I'm not feeling it, and left. So he wants to be on the ice. He tries to. I think this is a good deal for the Caps. But let's hope that he can stay healthy and do everything that Alex Ovechkin has always been known to do. Does this team win a Stanley Cup with Alex Ovechkin? No, absolutely not. So, he is the captain of this team. He's the face of the franchise. He is a fantastic player. So I'm happy that he got the deal. As a Caps fan, I'm very happy that he's going to be staying here and finishing his whole career here. It's very rare, very hard to do, especially in today's sports, to play your entire tenure, your entire athletic career with one team. It's a no small feat.
I mean, yeah, it is. To have a player that's going to stay on one team, ideally stay on one team for his entire career, is incredibly impressive, both for the player and the team, and being able to keep him there. And a player that was as transformative as he has been for this organization, I mean, he's going to go down as the greatest player in franchise history by a considerable margin. And this team has had some incredibly good players in the past, in Peter Bondra, in Olaf Kolzig, in Rod Langway. And he's easily surpassed all of them, both in production and what he means to the organization, the team, and the community, and what he's done to what he did and continues to do in terms of revitalizing and continuing the hockey scene in the DC market. And so to have him locked up likely for the rest of his career is a big deal. You know, is he going to be one of those players at the end of his career? You see him. I always see those things on like BuzzFeed, where you see a player like, you know, when former Washington football player Art Monk playing for like the Jets or something was always a bit weird. So, to, you know, will we see him in another team's jersey that's an NHL team? Yeah, it's possible. I just right now I don't see it merely as a matter of he's worth too much to them right now.
Yeah, 100% he is, and he's going to continue to be, you know, there's a reason why they paid him that much. He's going to continue that work. I mean, he's a hardworking guy. He's got the talent. He knows it. And like you said, the Stanley Cup is a goal of his again, and hitting that Gretzky record, I know that's got to be a personal goal for him as well. There's not many personal goals he has left. Let's be honest there. He's kind of done everything he can as an individual in this game. So, you know, let's see what happens next. Oh, he needs that Olympic gold too. So that's the other thing he's going to be hoping for. But Ovi, a capital for life. Old school NWO there. So congrats to Alexander Ovechkin on that. Couple question marks going forward. Like we said, Henrik Lundqvist, he is not eligible to sign a contract at the start of free agency. He did do some light drills. Still unknown what the future may hold for him. And Zdeno Chara, his agent said that he's kind of leaving all of his options open. He's working out hard. So we could potentially see Zdeno Chara come back in a role with the Capitals in some way, or he may retire. He hasn't decided yet. So with Brendan Dillon gone, does it make sense for the Capitals to bring back Zdeno Chara? I mean, I can't imagine Zdeno Chara being a number one guy for the defense at this point in his career.
Well, he wasn't. No, he's not going to be that anywhere, and he wasn't, unless it's like a really, like Buffalo maybe, to certain, maybe not number one, but it could be a top two or top four in terms of helping the young guy come up. Could he be a, I don't know, he could be on the third pairing like he was with the Caps last year, but I think they want to see what they've gotten, Martin Fevarian, and give Alex Alexiev a nice look in preseason. I mean, you have your top four, or at least your top three in Carlson, Orlov, and Schultz. And then you've got Jensen, Kempney, and Van Riemsdyk to choose from. But like I said, I think they want Favari and to see what they've got in him. And, you know, they might go out and bring in someone else. Whether that's bringing back Chara and hopefully rotating the defense a little bit more than last year, or just kind of rolling with some younger players. But, you know, Carlson, Orlov, Schultz, Jensen, Kempney, Van Riemsdyk, and Favari doesn't exactly fill me with a lot of, like, excitement. You know, I'd like to see at least move out. You know, Kempney was playing well, but can he stay healthy now? And Jensen's never really excited me all that much. So, you know, I guess defense right now is my biggest question mark.
Yeah, so I guess the Capitals are kind of looking at all the options they have right now. Like you said, Martin Fetavari, they said he's definitely going to get an NHL spot. So what pairing he might land on, we don't know yet, but it seems like he's going to be a guy moving forward for the Caps. He's worked hard, too. He's been like VTech, you know. He's been in the system for a couple years, and they've liked what they've seen. So he's finally going to get his full-time NHL shot next season. But will they bring in a veteran defender? Yeah, absolutely they might do that. So we'll see what happens there. What else do we want to talk about? What else has gone on in Caps world? They did have the draft, and they drafted, you know, a couple. I know they drafted a goaltender, Then they drafted, I think, a lot of defense.
Yeah, they went. I was talking about how one of them drafts some forwards. So of course, they went ahead and drafted every defender possible. And you know, they had later picks this year. Their first overall pick was, I believe, 55th overall, and so it's not exactly a high slot to be picking. They took defenseman Vincent Iorio, is I believe how you say his name. So I really hope he makes it because the marketing is right there. Like, it's already set up for the guy. They took defenseman Brent Johnson, no relation to the goaltender. Although there was either a joke, I didn't look that much into it, but there was a joke or legitimacy that he was named after former Capitals goalie. Defenseman Joaquin LeMay. Center Hakon Hanelt. Defenseman Drew Krebs and goaltender Chase Clark.
Apparently there's a lot of people, I don't know any of these names at all whatsoever, but there's a lot of excitement behind the goaltender. For whatever reason, people really think that this guy is going to do something in the NHL.
Well, in the picture they posted, he's got a really boring mask. I can tell you that much. It's just white. It's lame. But the Caps also made some moves. They re-signed defenseman Lucas Johansson. They signed defenseman Matt Irwin, defenseman Dylan McElrath, and goaltender Hunter Shepard. So these guys are all probably going to be ending up with Hershey, but you know, stocking the minors a little bit.
Yeah, maybe even South Carolina.
Maybe. I think they're going to. My guess is that it's going to be a Hershey move, but it's always possible. You know, Hershey had a couple of things going on. They re-signed, or I guess the Caps re-signed forward Beck Malinson to a one-year, two-way contract. He might get a look in the NHL. He's only 23. There's certainly a good possibility. He was out last season with he had surgery to repair his Achilles tendon. That sounds painful. But he's certainly going to get, I would imagine, somewhat of a look in preseason. He has an opportunity to make a case for himself, so he has an opportunity to play. He, I think, recently got married. Back in June, the Caps re-signed Shane Gersick to a one-year, two-way contract as well. And they re-signed back in June Michael Scarbosa. I don't know if we talked about those before, but I was just kind of catch up on all the moves.
Yeah, lots going on. I mean, it's kind of weird to see a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury being let go by the Golden Knights, being picked up by the Blackhawks. But last I heard about him,
he's got zero interest.
Yeah, he might be retiring. So be interesting to see what he plans to do next.
I mean, I think what I read last night was that he wants to retire for family reasons. Not retire for family reasons. He has zero interest in moving, and he's likely would rather retire for family reasons. So, I mean, it's got to be hard. You got kids. You got to move them from another city. I mean, he's been in Vegas for a good few years now. But he's had an incredible career, and I think, you know, if he's going to retire, I don't think anybody's going to give him or should give him hard time.
Yeah, I mean, he got himself to the Stanley Cup Finals that first year in Vegas, so couldn't win it, but, you know, he was there, so. what else? What else we have to talk about? Oh, the schedule came out. We didn't even talk about that last week, did we?
No, the schedule is your favorite thing.
Yeah. I always like to look at the schedule. I got to say, I'm a little upset because they were going to make a big old hoopla about this, and it was like, turn it, you know, go watch SportsCenter. 6 o'clock, there's going to be a big NHL schedule reveal. That's the thing. It took them 32 minutes to get to any sort of NHL news on SportsCenter. And I understand.
Of course it is. It's ESPN. They don't care about hockey, even if they did sign it.
That's what worries me about them leaving the NBC deal, is that they are going to be a small fish in a very big pond. So I don't like that. So I think, yes, they may have made a lot more money with ESPN and TNT, and money makes the world go round, but you're not going to be treated like the royalty you were treated like with NBC. So I did not like that as a fan, having to wait 32 minutes for them to discuss the NHL. But they did spotlight that Oh yeah. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. So game one of the regular season is October 13th. And who's it against? The Caps are up against the New York Rangers. And how did that season end last year? All that controversy about Tom Wilson and the line brawls. You want to tell me that the NHL wants to get fighting out of the way and it's horrific acts of violence? They put this on game one. And it's not a local broadcast. It will be broadcasted for the first game ever on TNT, where TNT knows drama. You want to tell me that wasn't an accident? Come on. Caps Rangers, the NHL, loves that this is happening right now. They are so excited. That's why it's on TNT. The first night hockey will be on TNT because everybody's going to want to tune in to Big Bad Tom Wilson and the way he has dismantled the entire Rangers organization from last year. That's what they're all going to tune in to see.
Probably. I mean, there's a bit of – you're looking at this going, well, you know, the NHL keeps talking about how they want, not want to get fighting out, but they don't necessarily want to promote it. But – this is a little suspicious.
No, it's not a little. It's not a little. It's not a little suspicious. It's a lot. It's superstitious. That's what it is. Nah, it's not right. But it's a big thing. I'm telling you, the NHL loves this. Loves
it. Oh, I'm sure they do because it's going to get more people to tune in to see if the Rangers try and beat up Tom Wilson. And you know, I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about it other than I'm just not surprised. And given Wilson brought this on himself, you know, because he can't behave himself sometimes, so I completely understand that he's – this is a big story I know about the Caps playing the Rangers in the first game. But, you know, if the NHL really wanted to get away – I wonder if ESPN had something to do with it where they're like, you know, we got an idea to get people to turn on TNT.
Uh-huh. And it's also going to be on a Wednesday night, which...
Actually, rivalry. I mean, I don't know that I have
looking
anymore.
Looking forward, but, though, so. I don't know if you and I will be recording Wednesday nights this season because there are a ton of Caps games on Wednesday night. So that's why you should go like our Facebook page to know when a new show comes out. But we'll have to look at the schedule and figure that out. But TNT on Wednesday nights right now is AEW Wrestling Dynamite, which is being moved to TBS. So I think that wrestling and hockey have a lot in common. And a lot of that crowd that's already watching AEW in that time slot on TNT will be flipping on to Caps Rangers and seeing a lot of the same type of sports entertainment that they see on AEW. So I still think there is no mistake that that is the first game on TNT. But looking forward to everything else going on on the schedule. The first time the Caps are up against the Penguins is November 14th. First trip out to Seattle is November 21st. Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, by the way.
The real one.
that is on the 25th. The Caps play on Thanksgiving Eve as well as Black Friday, keeping that tradition going. Around the holidays, the Caps are playing on December 23rd, and then they have the Christmas break, and then they'll be back on December 27th. And they'll be playing on New Year's Eve up against Detroit. And they will not be playing on Super Bowl Sunday due to the Olympic break, that there is still not a plan for what they are going to do for the Olympics. But they're still not saying they're allowed to go, but they do have the Olympic break built in. So from February 3rd through February 23rd, the Capitals will not be playing. That is the All-Star break and then the Olympics. And, you know, there's a whole lot in the air about the Beijing Olympics. Whether the U.S. will even participate is still a question. Whether the NHL players will be allowed at all is still a question. Whether COVID allows the Olympic Games to happen is also up in the air. We know that the Summer Olympics are going on right now, but it, you know, COVID cases have been steadily increasing a lot. Still up in the air about the Olympics moving forward.
Yeah, we don't really know. I mean, I'll stick to just the aspects of the fact that, you know, that we don't know if the NHL player is going to go, which kind of loses some of the interest to an extent. You know, I know it was nice to have you go back to, there's a line from the movie Miracle, but I'm blanking on verbatim how to say it, but it loses a little bit of luster, I guess, in the past when it was not, when it was professionals that were playing. But I always kind of liked that because you got to see the best players of each country playing, and sure, it's something that they actually cared about. Like, it wasn't the All-Star game where you had the quote unquote best players who weren't injured playing, but they never took it as serious as you might hope. But the Olympics, you really did get the players going all out for their country. And that was always really special and fun to watch. And to not have them there, it just doesn't feel the same. And I'm not as interested in it.
Without the players, you mean? You're not interested
yes,
without
sorry,
the players?
Yes, sorry if I didn't make that clear. I am not as interested in the games, the hockey games at the Olympics without the NHL players, because it's just – it's that top – not even stars, but the pretty much the most of the best players in each country playing, it's more exciting. It's the closest thing that we're going to get to a World Cup when it comes to hockey. And I know we have the World Cup of hockey, but no one cares about that.
It's
the closest that we get to that World Cup feeling that you get with soccer. So I always just really enjoyed it. And the last go around, I don't even know if I watched really any of it.
I know that the women's hockey games were very exciting at the last Olympics in South Korea. So
those are good. Those are good.
Yeah. Which they have their world championship coming up next month. So maybe you can watch a little bit of that. But, yeah, I agree. The last Olympics where the NHL didn't participate, it wasn't as fun. It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't the best players in the world, and that's what the Olympics are supposed to be about. Miracle, though, had a whole different thing because, there were so many Russian players that were the best in the world playing on that national team, and it was a bunch of, ragtag athletes in the U.S. It's America loves an underdog story, and they were underdogs in that movie and in that storyline, and that's what made it so compelling, and that's why we love it so much. So that was you'll never see that again. I don't think so.
No, because it was like unless somehow all the Russians were playing but none of the or Swedes or whoever, Canadians were playing but none of the Americans were playing, and somehow the Americans still won.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. No, I mean, it's, it'll be interesting to see. I still hold hope that it'll happen, but I don't know.
All right. What else should we cover here in Caps World?
I don't know if there really is more. I mean, we probably go into more detail about some of the stuff. I mean, Vanacek just being back, I think, is a really nice story. They did move on from Dylan, but I think it was necessary. They had to move somebody out. And I think the return of 2 second-round picks, even if you flipped one of them to get your goalie back, who was held for ransom, is still a good move. They needed to lose a defender, and it worked out. So I still kind of wish it was Nick Jensen, but no offense to him as a person. I just think he's as good of a hockey player as we need. And I would like to see a little bit more of their cap space freed up by moving out another goalie. Not goalie. What am I saying? Defensive player. Because they still, like I said, are having 23%. I think it's, according to CapFriendly, it's 23% exactly of their cap hit in Backstrom and Ovechkin. 9.6 of it and 9.8 of it are Carlson and Kuznetsov, although hopefully Kuznetsov's moved out at some point. It sounds like McCullen's kind of backing off those trade comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did notice that, yeah.
So I don't know if he's going to get moved, what's going on there, but I think it all works out in the end because they have a decent amount of free agents they have to sign. Nick Dowd's a free agent after this upcoming season. Schultz, Kempney, and a restricted free agents will be Daniel Sprong and Vanacek. And remember, they still have to sign Samsonov. He's a restricted free agent right now. I have to imagine that's their next go-to in terms of signing somebody.
Does it worry you at all that, there hasn't been any crazy free agency signings this time around? Because I mean, we talked about this ever since the cup run. The team really hasn't changed that much, and they haven't been able to get out of the first round of the playoffs. And the last 2 years, they both, won one game and then lost in five. So the fact that they aren't really doing any moves, are they just, happy with being satisfactory, or are they actually, do they want to make moves to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Stanley Cup Finals again? Because without making any of these moves and changing at all, I feel like they are happy with where they're at and they don't really want to push forward.
Well, I think to an extent they're stuck at the moment because they only have just under $2.7 million in cap space to play with. And so I kind of wonder if they're looking
to move out. Whose fault is that, though?
Well, it's theirs. There's no argument there. But I kind of wonder if they're looking to move out one or two more guys to free up some cap space. Do you move? I mean, if you move out Kuznetsov, you suddenly got like $10 million to play with, as well as if you move out Jensen or Kempney, you know, then you have, I don't think they're going to move Schultz at this point. So you move Jensen or Kempney and you've got even more money to play with. But that also depends, you know, if you, do you move Kuznetsov? Are you bringing in another center who is probably going to be on a high contract like his, or do you move him for picks and prospects and hope to sign somebody? But I don't really know if there's anybody left that can fill that role, what Kuznetsov does. So that's, you know, I think it's going to have to be a trade like for like to an extent. Maybe you find someone that is in a similar situation where you're like, you know what, I think it's time for us to move on from this particular player and get someone else. You move him out, but I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward to free up some cap space to make any more moves. At the moment, I mean, you have it's 2.668 and change in cap space, according to Cap Friendly, though that does include the $750,000 for Matt Irwin, but I imagine he's going down to Hershey. But then you have to bring up Favari, who is makes a little bit more. So you're losing even a little bit of cap space there. So that's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see what Samsonov gets, and that's going to really be the point where you're like, okay, now we know what money we have to play with.
I don't know. I feel like something's got to give, and I said it at the end of the last season's podcast, you know, Brian McClellan's seat might be getting a little bit warm. I'm not saying it's on fire, and I'm not saying he's going anywhere, but I'm saying, you know, he may have been sitting at a cool 71 degrees, but it may be at like a 74 at this point. You know, it's not much, but I can't be the only one thinking like, you know, you're not winning, right? Like, yes, it's good. You signed Ovi and Backstrom's locked up and you've got some strong players. You brought in Anthony Mantha, who's looked good, but it's still not working. Like, thank you for getting Vitek back. Yeah, we really do like him. However, there's still some issues we got to fix here. What are you going to do about it? Like, I feel like I'm not the only one asking those questions.
No, I think that's fair to ask, and I think when they have, you're bringing a lot of the same guys, which is beneficial to an extent because they understand the system that Laviolette wants to play, but can he get more out of those players? Are you going to have Daniel Sprong, who's a little bit more comfortable in the system now? You've got Anthony Mantha, who's had an offseason and a preseason with this team. Is he going to be able to produce more like we saw at the beginning than the latter part of his so far short tenure with the Caps?
Do they get a pass? Like, does Laviolette get a pass for the last season because of all of the restrictions that were put on due to COVID? Like,
would get the same pass that anybody else gets. So, like, yes, but also no, because everybody's kind of on the same page there. Like, to an extent, right. Tampa kind of, they didn't cheat, but they played the system in terms of being able to kind of hide players and then go well over the cap in the cap ceiling in the playoffs, which definitely helped them to win their second cup in a row. But screw them. So, you know, I think it's a new season. I think they're going to get a real offseason. I mean, we'll see. With everything going on with the Delta variant, especially, you know, right now in our area, I think the Nationals just have like 12 players test positive. Ooh. So it's tricky.
Oh, they were just in Camden Yards this weekend.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if rules start to change. I mean, the CDC has changed some rules. I know Montgomery County right now where I live is taking a wait-and-see approach in terms of the rules and how they may change them. But it's going to be an interesting start to the season because a lot can change between even now and preseason in terms of what some of the rules may be. And it might be more like last season than it was now. But even then, the players, the coaches, people in the front office, they've been through last season. They understand what those rules are and how to both abide by them and work with them and to see what it's going to be like. So, you know, I like Montgomery County, am in a wait and see approach. We'll see how things go. But every year, all these guys are getting 1 year older. I mean, Christ, Ovechkin's 35. I still remember where I was when he got drafted.
I think I saw him, first game I saw Ovi in was, I want to say his sophomore year against the Atlanta Thrashers. And they were celebrating the award he got because everyone got a coin, an Ovi coin.
Mm.
I still have. I still have that coin.
I remember I came home and turned on the computer, went on the Caps website, and I saw on the Caps website, so it was like the first place I went, that they were announcing they got the first overall pick. And I was like, oh my God, because everyone knew that this dude Ovechkin was going to be amazing. I remember where I was when Ovechkin was drafted. I remember in the video, you see Mike Green like two rows behind him when Ovechkin got picked. I remember Backstrom's where Ovechkin does this little wink, George, a la George McPhee. It's just weird. I remember waiting for Kuznetsov to come over for so many years, and everyone thought he wasn't going to come, and it was a wasted pick. Now he's 29 and a cokehead. you know,
I was at the game. Not the first game he played, but the first game he was in the building when he signed his contract. I was at that game.
I was at Ovechkin's first game when he broke the glass and then scored a goal with that dude with the Columbus dude's body. You know, it's been a wild ride, and it looks like we got at least five more years of it.
That would be a nice show for us to do in the off season, maybe next month, where we count down our top 10 favorite OV moments, besides the cup, of course.
They'd have to be moments on the ice, because I can come up with some funny.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, yeah, we should totally do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Let's do that.
We should do that.
Whenever you get free time.
give me another 2.5 weeks, then we got some free time.
All right. Anything else we should talk about in Caps World? You think we're done?
I think,
is that it for the show?
No. It's going to be too hard to go through all of the big like signings that have happened. Linus Ullmark. I'm quickly scrolling through. Linus Ullmark is getting. Wasn't he with Buffalo? He's getting $5 million a year for 4 years in Boston. Dougie Hamilton is leaving Carolina, going to New Jersey. He's now getting $9 million a year. Good Lord. Let's see. Antti Raanta, who the Caps were not, I don't know if they were ever interested, but he was one of the people they were talking about. He's getting $2 million a year with Carolina. Let's see. I'm just doing a quick scroll. Matthias Janmark is Vegas, $2 million a year. Nick Foligno went to Boston. Luke Shen signed with Vancouver. So Vancouver went from being Caps of the West to having no Capitals. Holpe, they bought him out. He's now in Dallas. They traded Nate Schmidt to Winnipeg. They traded...
which, by the way, Nate Schmidt was supposed to go to Winnipeg during the Dylan trade, and that was one of the places that he had a no-trade clause to, and he said, no, I'm not going, so they traded for Dylan. And then, like, a day later, Nate Schmidt will go to Winnipeg.
Maybe he's just boys with Dylan, and he's like, oh, he's going? Okay, I'll go hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's my buddy. And then, what's it? Beegs went to Arizona. Cause you know, when you're older, you go there to retire, I guess. And then, sorry, Beegs still my boy. And then, they didn't re-sign Travis Boyd. At least I don't think they did. Did they sign him during the day? Hold on.
I don't know.
We'll do a quick.
Chris Johnston says the Coyotes now own 2 first-round picks and 5 second-round picks in the 2022 draft.
All right. Not bad. Alex Edler went to L.A. Probably not going to be able to. Jaden Schwartz went to Seattle. I am coming around on that logo a little bit, I have to admit.
The Seattle
one? Yeah, the S thing. I'm coming around.
I dig the away jerseys, the sweaters.
The sweaters are pretty good. Grubauer getting 5.9. Colorado is a mess right now. I thought our goalie situation was bad. At least we had Samsonov. I don't know what they're going to do. Let's see. Who else is getting some money? Or is an interesting name? I mean, the trades, I feel like, have been a little bit more interesting. Getzlaff went back to Anaheim. Not that anyone didn't expect that. Keith Yandel went to the Flyers. Brian Elliott signed with Tampa. Mrazek is in Toronto. Halak went to Vancouver to be the backup, I would imagine. Oh, my God. I can't remember the goalie's name in Vancouver all of a sudden. I suck. I'm tired. Let's see. Alec Martinez. I think he's staying in Vegas. Jared Tenorti signed with the Rangers. That's where everybody was making the jokes about, I guess, him and Wilson fighting. So, it's been an interesting one so far. Nothing where people are like, what? But,
yeah.
Except for maybe Hamilton going to the Devils and getting a ton of money. So, that'll be interesting. I haven't seen anything else, at least at the moment. Everybody's kind of talking about Dougie Hamilton. Grubauer, I think, was a big one. He's getting big money, which is impressive. But the trades, I feel like, were actually pretty interesting. I'm going to go back a little bit into mid to early July. Duncan Keith left Chicago. He got dealt to Edmonton. Didn't expect that to happen. But he's a bit a bit older now. You got Nick Leddy got dealt to Detroit from the Islanders for Richard Ponick and a second-round pick in 2021. Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think we did.
I don't remember. Ryan Ellis got sent to Philadelphia from Nashville for Philip Myers, a defenseman, and Nolan Patrick, a forward. Pittsburgh sent forward Jared McCann to Toronto for forward Philip Hollander and a 2023 seventh-round pick. I think I've made this stupid comment before, but I'm always curious how that works in terms of like, how do you have that argument where you're like, I want a 2022 pick? Well, no, you can have the year after. Like, how do you have, like, how does that conversation go? Nolan Patrick wasn't done, so hopefully he didn't unpack his bags, because later that actually probably in the same trade, he got dealt from Nashville to Vegas for Cody Glass. Let's see, what other big trades were happening? Philly sent Shane Gostisbehere a 2022 second round pick and a 2022 seventh round pick for nothing in return, which I thought was a little weird. But I understand you're just trying to free up some cap space. Buffalo sent Rasmus Ristolainen, the defenseman, to Philly for defenseman Robert Hagg, a first-round pick in 2021 and a second-round pick in 2023. Rangers sent forward Pavel Buchnevich. I always liked his last name. I don't know why. They sent him to St. Louis for forward Sammy Blais and a 2022 second-round pick. We had Vancouver making a big splash. They picked up Oliver Ekman-Larsson from Arizona, as well as Connor Garland for Antoine Roussel, Jay Beagle, Louis Erickson, a 2021 first-round pick, 2022 second-round pick, and a 2023 seventh-round pick. Vancouver might actually be halfway decent this year, but now that I said that, they're probably not. Columbus sent defenseman Seth Jones a 2021 first-round pick and a 2022 sixth-round pick to Chicago for forward Adam Boqvist, a 2021 first-round pick, 2021 second-round pick, and a 2022 first-round pick. Let's see. Philly sent forward Jakub Voracek to Columbus for forward Cam Atkinson. Sam Reinhart got sent from Buffalo to Florida for goalie Devin Levy and a 2022 first-round pick. Somehow Eichel is still in Buffalo. We had a lot of like salary dumps, I think, that were going on. We talked about Fleury getting sent from Vegas to Chicago, but it sounds like he's going to rather retire than actually play there. And then, let's see, Chicago sent Brent Seabrook to Tampa for forward Tyler Johnson and a 2023 second-round pick. Chicago sent defenseman Nikita Zadorov to Calgary for a 2022 third-round pick. Let's see, Ottawa sent forward Yevgeny Dadonov to Vegas. TSN has Vegas spelled V-E-G as, like, short. Is that, I feel like that's really weird.
It is weird. Yeah.
Like VGS
isn't yeah VGS is no, the normal
yeah
one.
V it just looks like every time I see it, I'm thinking vegetables. Anyways, they sent Dadonov to Veg for a defenseman Nick Holden and a 2022 third round pick. Let's see, we just oh, and Vanacek was the most latest trade for that second round pick in 2023. So yeah, lots of moves, lots of things happening. Some less interesting, some more interesting. But I'm sure more things will happen over the next day or so before they start to sort of slow down a bit.
If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Talking Caps Hockey, Arsenal Football Club, sometimes other soccer teams, as well as talking about the Bills when things are happening, the Washington football team, as they seem to get closer to potentially making an announcement or letting it leak. Apparently they are keeping an eye on how things go for Cleveland since they just announced it, because they're like, we're going to wait and see what things you did wrong so we don't do the same things. Which is not a terrible idea, to be honest. But you can also find...
Now you go first. You go first.
All right, rock, paper, scissors. Who's going to do it? Although I don't think anybody knew about Cleveland. I could be wrong because I don't really pay attention to the Guardians, but like no one really saw that coming. And all of a sudden one day, one of my staff members was like, did you know that Cleveland Indians changed their name to the Guardians? And I was like, what were they even? I know they were getting rid of the Chief Wahoo logo, which is going to be weird when I watch the movie Major League now, but But I didn't know that they were going to be completely changing their name. So that one came out of nowhere for me. But with Washington, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. I'm hoping for Red Wolves because I think that's just a cool sounding name. But yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Shannon. If you've enjoyed the show, if you've enjoyed Brandon and I rattling and talking about the wide world of hockey in Washington Capitals, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of interesting things that pop into Brandon's head regarding the Washington Capitals, the National Hockey League, or things that he thinks are funny. But that's facebook.com. He's nodding, everybody. facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if someone happens to be a fan of the team that Jacoby Jones currently plays for, I have no idea. Can we talk about real quick, before we get into your other show and the player you're pointing at, can we talk about how we are doing a hockey podcast about the Washington Capitals, and you are wearing a shirt with a penguin on it?
You need to take a closer look to that shirt, sir.
How am I going to take a closer look if we're on a screen? What does that say? Oh, the team. Where did you get that?
So there's a fantastic patch maker, sticker maker on Etsy, who, after the Capitals vanquished the Penguins, she created the Dead Gwins patch and sticker. And it's a dead penguin with a hockey stick going through its head, and then a banner around it saying, "The demons have been exorcised." So if you will give me 1 second, I can go onto Etsy, tell you that shop, because they have some other really great. It is Red Cat Studios, and they have some, like, this fantastic hockey flag for DC. Right there.
Not bad.
They also have District of Champions, because of everybody was winning there for a little bit in DC. You can't see it because of the camera and the light.
I'll take your word for it. That is cool.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of cool cap stuff here. This one is good for if you got a lady in your life and you like to get her a shirt and put a patch on it. Here is a Stanley Cup wrapped in a DC banner and cherry blossoms.
Nice.
Yeah. So I highly recommend any of these patches. Good work. She did not pay me to say that, but I enjoy her work. And I will, if I was a Nats fan, I would get this shark. It says stay in the fight,
nice.
That patch. But I'm not a Nats fan. Sorry. Go O's. Don't be in last, please. But lots of great work. Lots of really good work here. So she's very talented at what she does.
Looks like it.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? All right. Yeah. Yeah. So what? So I should talk
Probably.
About my other show.
Give it a plug about that purple clad team that's not in Minnesota.
That's right. So the Baltimore Ravens team, they started practice. Training camp started today. Our show will be coming back. It's called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh, who literally jumped out of a plane today. Go to his Twitter page. You can see some of the crazy pictures of him jumping out of a plane. They are pretty hysterical. But he loved it. I will never, ever, ever do that. But he had a great time doing it. It looks like he had a blast. But me and my buddy Josh cover The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk all things Baltimore Ravens. He'll be going to training camp soon. I will be going to training camp on Saturday and then again a couple weeks in August. Lots of stuff going on right now, like Lamar Jackson, star quarterback, down with COVID for 10 days. Second bout with COVID this time around. So we'll see how that impacts training camp and everything else moving forward. But COVID's still a very big issue, very real thing out there. As much as we want life to go back to normal, it is still very much an issue for a lot of people. So don't take COVID lightly. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about hockey here. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, "I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck," and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Who knows what's going to happen next? Make sure you check us out on Facebook. Follow us each on Twitter. So when you know when a new show will be coming out, we don't know when a new show will be coming out. We're going to let the Caps, you know, make some more moves. Maybe we'll do a show about the lack of moves. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we will let you guys know once a new show comes out. So make sure you stay subscribed and you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you'll be the first to know. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.